Hello, everybody. This is Venue Music. It's snowing outside. It's fucking cold. It's freezing. It's Christmas time, and we have a very special band today. This is me, Slick Prodigal, and Beatallica. These are the last days of the JBO German tour they are running with. How did you like it so far?
Well, the tour's been good. You know, we've been looking forward to spending time with JBO and their folks. You know, because all the other times that we've ran into JBO, it's literally been for a matter of hours, you know, because we just kind of would go through Nuremberg and meet them and spend a little bit of time together. But now this is the first time that we've actually had an extended amount of time, you know, and seeing all the inner workings of JBO and doing all that. And that's always fun. You know, it's kind of been something that's been in the making for a number of years now, really.
Looking at it, on it from the outside, it really fits that you are touring with JBO. How did the audience like you?
I think it's like every opening band faces a few things, you know. You're always trying to turn on new people to what you do. And some people you turn on, some people you don't, you know. It's up to those people to come in with an open mind to look at Beatallica and say, oh, yeah, I get it, you know. But, I mean, whether we're touring with JBO or doing our own tour or playing in the United States or playing, you know, in a different European country, it's always the same thing, you know. There has to be some responsibility for Beatallica to put on a good show in order to turn people on to it, you know?
Yeah, well, you always have to work hard for it, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You have a special German version of one of your new records, the Magic Mystery Tour. There's a bonus track on it, especially for Germany. Tell me a little bit about it, and why did you do it?
Ein Gute Tag zum Sterben is the song, obviously a famous JBO song. We did it just, again, that's another thing that's kind of been a couple years in the making. You know, first time that we were over at their studios, we actually did an initial recording of it, and this was maybe 3 years ago. But it never saw the light of day, and Beatallica had some lineup changes. So when it came down to putting out our CD, the Masterful Mystery Tour CD, we said, okay, well, now we have a label partner in Germany with Megapress. Now is like the perfect time to re-record this thing and actually spend more time on it instead of just, you know, a few hours. You know, we actually went into our studio and did it and had some fun with it and definitely changed it up. You know, we wanted to make it something different and not the same old thing, you know what I mean? We got to put the Beatallica stamp on it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Otherwise, it wouldn't make a reason to record it again. Did you play it live in your own set, or did you jump on stage when JBO played it anyway?
No, we're not playing it live in our set. JBO plays it, but they invite James to come up and sing with them. And he bastardizes the German language on stage. And the audience really likes it, hearing him sing all the wrong words. It's not all the wrong words, but all the right words spoken the wrong way.
On purpose, I guess. I'm sure you have a very, very good German speaking language, but you did it on purpose, right?
Actually, you know, Ringo and Cliff... they've been taking German home lessons, you know,
okay,
since we started coming over here to Germany. So they probably are more fluent in German than I am. I took German in high school, actually. But my high school German teacher was just interested in showing us hockey games on tape. So... We never really studied a lot of German, but
well, it's the same around here. You know, my English teacher, my old English teacher, used to show us Mr. Bean series. You know, to
Oh,
learn.
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, great, right? You never hear one English word spoken, but yeah. Well, never mind. How can I say it? The music you play, yeah, and the whole concept behind the band. Straight question. Can you remember the first thought that led into the conception of Beatallica? Was it a night full of alcohol? Was it, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean the way that it first developed was we were on our way to a rehearsal for a festival that we were doing called Spoof Fest,
Okay.
okay? And it's done near April 1st, April Fool's Day, and we do this festival every year, and we were going to rehearsal and we heard the song For No One by the Beatles, and we're listening to the chorus and listening on how, like, oh man, this could be a pretty heavy riff actually. And we just started making these songs just kind of on a whim, you know. It really wasn't something we had ever planned on doing, but I know you know what part of the city we were in, and you know we were heading south. It was sunny. We went into our basement and just started making some weird creations, you know. And then we kind of thought nothing of it until like 5 days later or something. I came back with another one. And then we came back with another one after that. And they were like, okay, well, we need to put these on recording, you know. And that was kind of the humble beginnings, you know, of what this whole deal is now.
So kind of it started as a joke getting serious, right?
Yeah, you know, but I'm not really sure when the band became more than that, because it's obviously more than that. If you just treat the band as a joke, then you're not getting things accomplished. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So it's there's a fine line between having fun and it just being, you know, kind of schlocked out there, you know.
Like another big band said once, that there's a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to have, you know, people that are on the ball, and you have to rehearse and practice and write and plan and do all these other things that every band does, you know.
What kind of bands you were in, or what kind of music did you do before you started doing Beatallica for the whole time?
This is Gerd Dry. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. I first met James when our band played together in the late 80s, early 90s. We would do shows together. We were into, you know, speed metal and, you know, hardcore, that kind of thing. And that's how we met, Gerg and James. And but we've all played various different styles of music. You know, I'm in a instrumental jazz band at home and a country band playing bass, playing mandolin, you know. So I come from many different styles of music as well. Yeah, and this is James. I play in a few Irish bands. And actually, when I started playing in Beatallica, I wasn't even in a rock band at that time. I was playing acoustic music. So it was kind of a quick switch, you know.
Yeah.
I know Cliff has roots in Viking folk metal, he says, and punk, and he's really into like some of the stuff like early Yes and some Yngwie and, you know, more progressive stuff, you know.
Which fits its original position in the band,
What's
Beatallica, yeah?
that?
Which fits its original position as the Cliff bass player in this band.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why he is Cliff McBurtney.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
There are many reasons. Not all of them are musical. That's the thing. But there are many reasons why he is Cliff McBurtney.
James, question for you. You sound very, very much, and I mean it in the most positive way I can mean it, like James Hetfield himself on the records. Did it take you hard work, or does your voice sound any way like him?
Well, I always kind of view it like, you know, your voice is an instrument, you know? So, like, if you're a guitar player, you have to practice. Now, I just said that when I joined Vitalica, I wasn't in a rock band, and I was playing acoustic music.
Okay.
So that meant I had to practice, you know, and get chops up to snuff, you know? And as you get older, you know, it's even harder on your voice because your voice changes. It's influenced by things like smoke and smoky bars. Alcohol is actually not good for your voice. It causes your vocal cords to swell up and expand, which is not good. So if you're trying to manipulate your voice to do something, then it's even extra hard, you know. But like anyone that does an impression, you know, like Robin Williams, you know, or any comedian that does an impression, they don't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to go talk like this guy now.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. They have to work on it and work on their inflections and what are they doing with their breathing. And so I sound different now doing the Hetfield thing as when we started it out in 2004 and started recording things, you know. And I'm sure I'll sound different 3 years from now, but it's up to me to keep my voice in shape in order to do the performance, you know.
Was that the special interesting thing for you as a singer to try to develop a totally different sounding of your own voice?
Oh, sure. I think that it's like that with every instrument player, you know. I mean, you can get someone that plays a brass instrument, but let's say they play a brass instrument in a symphony or they play it in like an avant-garde jazz noise band. Well, it's the same instrument, you know, but they're working on it in a different way, you know, and that's the challenge. How can you make that instrument do what you want it to do? You know, I don't think you ever really 100% succeed in that. I think that music is always the master. It's the, how close can you get to that 100%? And I don't think that any great composer would ever say that they've fully achieved what they hear in their head. I think it's impossible.
Yeah, right.
You know,
definitely. Yeah, you only can try to come as close as you can get. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, I think any writer would say that. Or artist would say that they're doing the best that they can to get what they have in their head out.
Talking about writing, when you do new songs, from which direction do you go to them? Is it like, what kind of Metallica riff do we want to play now, or what kind of Beatles song do we not want to play?
Yeah, Cliff, you want to answer this?
Sorry, what was the question? Wiederholen Sie bitte.
Yeah, I will, Cliff. The question was, we were talking about writing songs, and when you do new tracks, what is your first thought? Do you think, okay, which is the Metallica riff we want to use on the Metallica song, or which Beatles song do we want to change? What is the first idea?
For me personally, it's like the title does it all. If you can come up with a good title,
okay,
then you can work the two, like the lyrics to a Beatles song with a couple riffs of a Metallica song, and that makes it come together. But if you don't have a working idea, then you're kind of fucked.
So you do every direction that is working, probably. There is no master plan behind it.
Well, there's some bad planning. I don't know about mad planning, but there's definitely some bad planning. And, you know, sometimes you have to scrap a song because it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah. What are the next plans for the next records? Are you going to change a lot? Is it going to be like, we're going to get what we expect? Or do you try to do something totally new? Have you already plans?
We're going to start a new band mixing Slayer and ABBA.
That's going to sound good, yeah.
Hello, we are Slabber.
You're going to need more hours a day to do all these ideas. Sounds good. going back to the JBO tour, how did they treat you? How did you feel about being a support band? Did you get enough lights? Did you get enough sound?
They whipped the shit out of us.
The crew locked us up in the bus every night and wouldn't let us out.
They are known for
they
that.
They tie us up and they whip us. Yeah.
And then they made us drink alcohol.
I used to have 10 fingers, that, you know, and now I can't even play. Ringo has to play guitar tonight. I'm just club fisting it now.
We are in Berlin. I hear there's a lot of club fisting.
Yeah, they are.
No, the crew has been great to us. The JBL has been great, and the management and everything. They've treated us very, 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 very well. And we've made new friends, and it's great. Yeah, Tina, you can put that gun down now. We've said everything that you wanted us to, so...
Did you have time to wander around in the cities while touring, or is it just hard work in playing every night, drinking every day?
Well, I know, like, for me personally, I probably go out the least, or at least close to the least amount, just because I know personally what I need to do to perform well, you know. Not to say that I don't like to have fun, but I just know what my limits are if I expect to put on a good show. You know, like if I go out and go crazy one night, but then my show the next night sucks, well, then I'm not really accomplishing anything, you know. But, I mean, you know, when we were in Hamburg, you know, we hit the Reeper Bahn because we have a lot of friends in Hamburg, and it's one of the places we've been to quite a bit. I know these other guys have gone to some Weihnachtsmarkt, right?
Yeah, I'm probably the cliff here. I probably go out the most, and I try to drag as many of these bums along with me as I can, because when you're in a different country, it's your job to get out and see as much as you can while you're there, you know?
Sure.
Like in Hamburg, I went to the Viking store, Handele.
You're the one with the Viking metal roots, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, born from fire and steel.
Yeah, I'm listening, you know. when, in case somebody haven't heard about Beatallica before, when he comes to Berlin this night, what, in your own words, what is the most special thing about a Beatallica show? What can people expect?
Have a lot of drinks, have a lot of laughs.
No, no, what do you do on a Beatallica show? What can they expect from you? Not from themselves.
Oh, I think if they're not familiar with the band, they may be surprised as to how seriously we take the music, you know? Mm-hmm. Sure, it should be fun, and it's our job to make people have fun, but it's also our job to show the people that this is a functional touring band like any other band, you know, and that we know what we're doing. We know exactly what we're doing. And if you get the jokes, that's great. I think people understand it more if they know both the Beatles and Metallica, you know, if you know both sides of it. The band can be very interactive, you know. We're definitely not shoegazers, you know. I know Cliff always says that he's the hardest working bass player in bass player dumb. You know.
Hey, mind your words, I'm playing bass myself.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it should definitely be a fun thing, and if people come in with an open mind, if they haven't heard the band before, you know, I think that they're going to dig it.
Have you experienced that people in Germany don't get the jokes as good as people back home just because of the language?
Yeah, there's the language barrier for sure. But I think the music transcends that. You know, I think if we look like we understand what we're talking about, then they'll believe us.
Right. do you have plans for the next tour already? Can you tell us a little bit about it? Around here.
Yeah, well, East Coast of USA, some Japan action, and then back here to Deutschland later next year.
Great. And who are you playing with? Will it be a headlining tour, or do you do support shows?
Right now we're just playing with ourselves, but
Well, I don't mean the sexual thing after the show. I mean the concerts themselves.
I know the U.S. dates, those are our dates. The Japanese dates would be our dates. Coming back to Germany, I guess not quite sure, you know. It would probably depend on how long of a tour it would be. If we come back over, you know, for 2 to 3 weeks and do other countries, then those dates would probably be our dates, you know.
Right.
Last time we were here, I mean, we did Denmark and Netherlands and France, Switzerland, Austria, Poland, Czech Republic, all those other places too, you know. So you meet a lot of different bands, you play with a lot of different people. Whoever we play with in Europe next time that we come over, you know, we'll have just as much fun and we'll have some new material and, you know, just be ready to, you know, kick some ass every time we go out, man, you know?
Great, great. So, well, we came to the end. Now you have the chance for the famous last words, like we call them.
Gerd, do you want to say the famous last word, or is this going to be censored? Rum.
It's not going to be censored.
Did you get Gerd's last word? He just said rum.
No, I didn't get it. You were talking, I didn't hear it.
Cliffs, what's your last word?
For these and many more famous last words, please visit us on Vitalica.org or MySpace.com/Vitalica or Facebook.com/Vitalica or Twitter.com/Vitalica or Soundcheck.com/Vitalica or many, many more. Visit us online.
And you can sign up on our email list to get all the news and notes on the band, because if you hear from us, then you know it's the truth. Because in the past there's been some mistruths and misconceptions about what exactly the band is and what it's all about. But you can sign up on an email list, which is vitalica@sbcglobal.net, and you can do all that from our website.
So thank you very much, Vitalica, and I wish you well. 2 very, very good last shows in Germany, and hopefully you come back the next time and everybody is going to come to your shows.
Yeah, man, we ought to see you too, though. You're included in all that.